to the saint, Saint Clement the First, gives us an opportunity to look at history again. The first bishop of Rome, the first pope, was Saint Peter, and he was pope until he died in about 64, they say, probably crucified upside down in about 64. After him, his successor was Linus. After him, Cletus. After him, Clement. And that's today. The fourth pope is Saint Clement. Remember that in the early years, in fact, for the first few hundred years, the believers in Jesus Christ had to endure severe persecution. Rejection, persecution, martyrdom. Civil leaders, in this case the Roman emperors, thought that the best way to deal with this troublesome group is kill the leaders, kill some of the followers, and the rest of them will be scared away, and that will be the end of it. In later periods of history, they also, the civil leaders, also used the technique of tearing down the churches. So you kill the leaders, especially the bishops, the priests, the catechists. You kill some of the others just to show that you're tough. And then you tear down their churches, and you expect the whole thing to die out. Well, here we are, 2,000 years later, it doesn't work. The church has not died out. The continuous line of the popes has not ended. And people of faith know that there's a big distinction between what can be destroyed or taken away and what can't be. So it's possible to kill Christians, and it happens all the time. Tomorrow, in fact, we're going to celebrate Red Wednesday. It's a day of prayer for persecuted Christians. But Christians are persecuted and martyred all the time in the world. Church buildings are torn down. Church structures are attacked. Enemies of the church try again and again to wipe her out. It doesn't work because there's a distinction between what is passing and what remains. That, I think, is important for understanding today's readings. Important for understanding the message of the liturgy in this period of the year, the end of the year and at the beginning of the new year. We return again and again to this point that there are some things that will simply pass away and other things that will remain. And that comes up in today's readings. In today's gospel, Jesus again speaks about what the Jews would interpret as the end of the world. He says that the temple will be completely torn down. Not just a time of persecution, absolute annihilation. Which to the Jews meant, that's the end. Because without the temple, there was no cultural, political, social, or religious identity left. It would be evidence that God had in fact abandoned his people. That's what they would think. Now, there's one caveat against thinking that way, because the temple was torn down before, remember? When the Babylonians took over and exiled the people, they tore down the temple. At the time, it looked to the Jews, the Israelites, like God had abandoned his people. He had not. The destruction of human structures, the tragedies that we experience in this world, are not signs that God has abandoned us. That experience of the Babylonian exile should have been a lesson about that, but you know, we don't learn our lessons very, very well, or we forget them very quickly. So the destruction of the temple or of any building does not mean God has abandoned us. It's a stage, a part of the process of God ushering in what lasts, his perfect universal kingdom. But we celebrated on Sunday, Feast of Christ the King, King of the universe. God reigns over everything, the whole universe. So one building or another isn't going to change that. Now, the part of the problem with reading a gospel like this is that it only gives part of the story, the destruction part. There's going to be the destruction of the temple, there's going to be wars, there's going to be insurrections, there's going to be earthquakes, there's going to be famines, plagues, and all sorts of cosmic disturbances. Yes. That's the part that Hollywood movies like, you know, they like to blow things up and tear things down and have people escape from fires and gunshots. And maybe at the end of the movie, after everything is burned up and the heroes survive, well, then there might be hope that something will emerge out of the chaos. But usually movies, entertainment movies, they focus on the destruction part, not on the rebuilding or the what replaces what was torn down. And this gospel leaves us hanging. There's going to be all these problems. But the other side of, or the continuation of the process, is the establishment of the reign of Jesus Christ. Whenever we get a description of something God is doing, we have to remember the whole picture. And Jesus himself, when he spoke about his own journey, said, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be persecuted, I'm going to be scourged, put to death, and on the third day I will rise again. And the apostles always focused on the death part, and they never noticed the resurrection part. This is typically what happens. We get all caught up in fear about what we're going to lose, and we forget about what we're going to gain. Well, today's first reading gives a little bit more complete picture, although in a symbolic way. This is the vision that King Nebuchadnezzar had of the huge statue. A statue that was very bright and beautiful at the head, gold. Then as you work down the view of the statue, like a camera panning down from head to toe, gold, silver, bronze, iron, and then by the time you get down to the feet, there's this weird mixture of tile and iron. The expression in English is feet of clay. If someone has feet of clay, that's their weak spot, that's their Achilles heel. So here's the statue. King Nebuchadnezzar doesn't know what to make of it. It's just a weird, a little bit frightening thing to see. Daniel comes along and interprets the meaning of the statue. He says, well, this is the succession of earthly kingdoms. There are powerful, awesome, beautiful kingdoms. Like your kingdom, Nebuchadnezzar. You rule over this whole part of the world. But you'll die, another kingdom will come along, and won't be quite as good. That one will end, another kingdom will come along, be weaker still. And there'll be a period when you get a mess, kind of like we have now. We live in a time of iron mixed with clay or with tile, a mixture of some good and some bad, a lot of weakness and a lot of division. The countries that I know best are the Philippines and the United States, and both are very sharply divided, like iron and tile. And then along comes this stone, or you could say a rock, that strikes the statue and makes the whole thing crumble and disappear, blows away in the wind. This stone, the image of Jesus Christ now, the rock, this is the permanent king. By comparison to this stone, everything else is dust in the wind. And his kingdom will replace the earthly kingdoms, surpass them, and endure forever. That's the big picture. The kingdom of Jesus Christ, King of the universe, is the one that will remain. So what we're being told here, as we have been told for several weeks in the liturgy, is that if we want security, if we want hope, we have to put our focus on, make our priority what lasts, the reign of God, the kingdom of God, and not put all our hopes and things that are going to be taken away or will crumble and blow away or be torn down. Now, this doesn't mean that we should not work for human structures. It doesn't mean that we should not make beautiful churches. Of course we should. Of course we should. Some people argue, well, you should not put any money into all these things because they're going to be torn down anyway, or you should not put money into these things because it should be given to the poor. That's not true. That's not true. This world is for the glory of God, and it's right that we use our gifts for His worship. So it's right to build churches and to make them beautiful, just as the Jews were told by God to make the temple beautiful. It wasn't just a human desire for a beautiful building. It was for the glory of God. But every beautiful church will be torn down, or will crumble, or be destroyed by an earthquake or something. So we use what's passing in ways that are appropriate, legitimate, but we don't put all our trust in human temples. We put our trust in the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. And all the ups and downs of our daily life, personally and in society, are not going to shake our foundation, which is an eternal rock, Jesus Himself.